A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Kuf Yud Ches, Yevamos 118a, pagination is 235, starting midway on the page, Masnisin, a new Mishnah. We've been discussing in previous sessions the concept that if a woman's husband disappears, she's allowed to come and inform us that she knows that her husband is dead. If she has good verification on this, she witnessed it purposely. Or likewise, we have certain cases where an individual witness can tell us that the husband has passed away, and this will free her from the status of igun, of being stuck without a husband and not knowing for sure if he has passed away, so that she can move on to a new marriage. We mentioned that even though in general we have very firm requirements for a witness, in the case of igun, we allow different witnesses and even one witness, even if they wouldn't normally be accepted in a Jewish court of law. And the case primarily that we're focusing on here is the case of a woman testifying about her own husband and likewise about the husband of somebody else, in this Mishnah, someone who's a relative of hers. We mentioned in the previous session that a woman is trusted to inform that a man has passed away and allow his wife to remarry, except in specific situations where she is related to the woman in question in such a way that we fear that things aren't as simple as we might expect in a regular case. For example, we mentioned co-wives. We're worried that a woman will come, say my husband has passed away, which will free her from the marriage. It will also free her co-wife from the marriage, but we're concerned that she's doing it only to mess up the co-wife, the tzara, because the tzara might remarry based on that information, and really the husband is alive, and he will show up in town, and she'll be messed up, and that's a way to get her out of the family. Even if she wouldn't do it intentionally, l'shaker, but there is a concern of bididami, based on different types of impressions. Our Mishnah states, Ha'isha shalcha hi ubayla lemedinas hayom. A woman goes with her husband to a faraway place. Uva v'omran, she comes back to town telling us, Meis bayli, my husband is dead. Tinase v'tito ksubasa. She can get married, she can take her ksuba. V'tzarasa asura, but her co-wife remains forbidden, because we're worried that she's doing it to mess her up. If the tzara, who remains in a status of marriage with the husband whose whereabouts are truly unknown, if she was a bas yisrael to a kohen, so that she's only allowed to eat truma because of the marriage, and if it's true that her husband is dead, she would go back to her father's home and she would not be allowed to eat truma. The marriage remains so intact, according to Reb Tarfon, that she continues to eat teruma. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Ein zu derech motziyasa midei aveira. You have not taken the proper steps to free her from possible sin. Because as much as we don't believe the tzara, that the husband is dead, as far as the co-wife goes, but we do have testimony here that is allowing the co-wife who's saying the testimony to get married. So it is possible that the husband is dead. The only way to assure this woman that she's not doing an Avera is to both tell her that she's not allowed to remarry and Shetehei Asura Milecho Betruma, that she should also be forbidden to eat teruma. That's the position of Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah continues. Amra Meis Baili, if a woman says, my husband passed away, Ve'achakach Meis Chami, and later on, my father-in-law passed away. So she's saying testimony about herself, which is accepted. She's saying testimony about her mother-in-law, which we're not going to accept, because that's one of the relationships that we don't accept, testimony one on the other. Rashi observes that this case is unique, because if we accept what she's saying, she was not related to the mother-in-law at the time of the death of the father-in-law. She's no longer a daughter-in-law because her husband's dead. Nevertheless, this dynamic of mother-in-law, daughter-in-law is still enforced. So Tito Kisubasa, this daughter-in-law who's saying testimony about her husband, that's accepted. Vachamosa Asura, but the testimony that she's saying about the mother-in-law is not accepted. And therefore, Haisa Bas Yisrael LaKohen Tocha Betruma Divi Reb Tarfon, if the mother-in-law is of regular Israel origin and she was marrying into a Kohen family, she's still allowed to eat Teruma because her marriage is unchanged, because we don't accept the daughter-in-law's testimony as far as the mother-in-law goes. Rabbi Akiva Omer, once again, Rabbi Akiva argues and says, Ein ze derech motziya midei aveira. You haven't satisfied the spiritual needs of the mother-in-law. At shetei asura linosei, we have to forbid her from getting remarried because we don't have testimony of definitive death of her husband, because it's only the daughter-in-law saying it. Va'asura milecha betruma. But we also have to forbid her from eating truma, because maybe the husband is dead, after all, someone saying that. And if the husband has passed away, she gets put back to her father's family status, which is non-teruma eating, and that's what she should observe during this questionable period of status. The Gemara tells us, 6 lines up from the bottom, Omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel Alocha Ki Rabbi Tarfon. We paskin like Rabbi Tarfon, which leaves us with a little bit of need for introspection over here as to what exactly is the logic of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva's objection is very logical. Ein zu derech motziya midei aveira. You haven't taken this woman out of aveira, both in the case of the tzara, the co-wife, and in the case of the mother-in-law. Someone is saying testimony that the husband is dead, and based on that, even if you don't accept the testimony to free her from the marriage, but at the very least, you should still accept the testimony as far as her truma eating status. This is particularly troubling in the case of tzara, where they're talking by co-wives about the same exact man. And in one breath, you're accepting the testimony and allowing one co-wife to remarry based on her testimony that her husband is dead. And in the next breath, about the same very man, you're telling the other co-wife that she can't remarry because we don't have sufficient testimony regarding you to allow you to remarry. It sounds contradictory. and that's merely compounded by telling the co-wife, who cannot remarry, that she's even allowed to eat teruma. And this concept does exist in halacha, that we will take each shaila on its own merit, even though in the greater scheme of things, the metzias, the facts, would seem to be contradictory, but we still follow the guidelines of halacha in each particular case. The classic case of this is called Shnei Shevilin, two paths, where we know that one of the paths has a dead body underneath, and anybody who walked on the path would have walked above the dead body and therefore would have become tamei, ritually impure. And we have the facts that two people went on the two different paths. They know they each went on a different path, so that we know factually that one or the other passed over the grave. Nevertheless, the halacha is that if they ask us the shaila separately, we're allowed to answer the shaila on its own merit, suffik, tuma, bershus harabim, and be lenient, even though we're being lenient to him, and then we're being lenient to the other one, and it's factually contradictory, but each one stands on its own merit when it comes to halacha. I'm reminded of the cute story of two litigants who come to the rabbi, and each one says his case, why he thinks he's right, and the rabbi listens to one, and he says, you know, you're saying very good arguments. And then he listens to the second one, and again he's attentive and he listens and he concludes, you know, you're saying very good arguments. And the rabbi's wife calls in and says, how could they possibly be saying both good arguments? How can they both be right? And the rabbi responds, you know, you're also saying very good arguments. And the result over here is that indeed it's possible for one co-wife to be allowed to remarry and the other co-wife to remain in her marriage because no valid testimony regarding her has been brought, and she's even allowed to continue eating teruma as Reb Tarfon rules, and that's the way we paskin. Yeshakoach, thank you for joining.